Now, Rosh Hashanah is observed in the autumn of the year, on the first day of the month of Tishri. And it's on the new moon of the seventh Hebrew month. And just as the seventh day, the Shabbat, and the seventh year Shabbat, the Shemitah for the land were holy, so this seventh month of Tishri is a holy month to God. And we know the seven denotes God's perfection and God's rest for his people. Now, this is the only feast of the Lord that actually occurs on the first day of the month, the Hebrew month, that is, at the new moon celebration known as Rosh Chodesh. Now, in ancient Israel, the new moon was normally announced by short blasts of the shofar and with signal fires throughout the land. But the new moon of the seventh month was celebrated by long blasts of the shofar, emphasizing the solemnness and the uniqueness of this day. But it was also to announce the coming of the Day of Atonement, the coming of Yom Kippur, which was to be 9 days later. Now, Rosh Hashanah is also known as Yom Harat Olam. In other words, this is known as the birthday of the world. Now, the rabbis determined through looking at the scripture and interpolating that the world was created 5,776 years ago on Rosh Hashanah. And that's the year we're just entering into, 5,776. One answer is found in the word Bereshit, that word in Hebrew which means the beginning, from Genesis 1:1, the first word in the Torah. And also the Hebrew date for this first day of Tishri, known as, you know, the first of Tishri. Now, both phrases here, Bereshit and the first of Tishri, have the same six Hebrew letters. Now, in the Hebrew language, each letter has a numerical value. You all knew that, right? Yep. Right, okay. And both Bereshit, in the beginning, and the first day of Tishri, first of Tishri, both equal 913 numerically. So because the rabbis believed in numbers having significance, they said, aha, Rosh Hashanah, in the beginning, the world was created on Rosh Hashanah in the beginning. That's what they say. Now, over the last 2,000 years, this feast of Rosh Hashanah has been structured around various liturgy. But there's three main Hebrew benedictions that this feast has been structured. The first one is called Malchiyot, which means kingship. Remember we recited earlier, Avinu Malkeinu? That has to do with the kingship, the lordship of God, our Father and our King. It speaks of God's majesty, as it says in Psalm 98, verse 6, with trumpets and with the sound of the shofar, shout for joy before the King Adonai. It speaks of the coronation of God as our King. And that's why on this time of the year we have challahs, which are round or shaped like crowns, because we are announcing that God is our King. It's His coronation. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, go ahead. Thank you, Lord. And these are actually extra special ones that Donnie made. And they have two kinds of raisins in them, I believe. We have the dark raisins and the light raisins. Golden raisins. We are an equal opportunity challah maker here. So, and we're going to eat these later. Okay?
Hallelujah.
All right, something to get excited over. Now, the second benediction that surrounds this time of the year is known as Zikranot, or remembrance. It speaks of God's everlasting covenant with his people. And the theme of remembering or remembrance is also thought to be from God remembering Sarah and remembering Rachel and Hannah when they were barren, when they could not bear children. Also, the third benediction that this whole feast is wrapped around is known as Shofarot. Now, can you imagine what that means? Shofarot? It sounds kind of familiar, like shofar, doesn't it? Or the ram's horn. So this whole feast is wrapped around the benediction of the Shofarot. But it's also, there's a fourth theme known as Yom HaDin, or the Day of Judgment. And legend says that God sits in judgment between the New Year and the Day of Atonement to determine the fates for the coming year. And one of the prayers that are recited on this day on Rosh Hashanah is the Unat Tanach Tokef, which says that the great shofar is sounded, the still small voice is heard, and the angels tremble with fear as they proclaim, "Behold, behold, behold the day of judgment." But today, I'm going to cover just the benediction dealing with the shofarot, because it focuses on the ram's horn, the key role of the shofar in the history of the nation of Israel. Now, the shofar, and I've got a couple of them here. Here we go. Got the mama and the baby here. The shofar can be made from any clean animal that's spoken about in the book of Leviticus chapter 11, except a cow. Now, a cow is a clean animal. We eat, in fact, we're going to have some cow when we go to the other room. We've got some brisket, don't we? Yeah. This is an excited man when I talk about food, isn't it? Okay. Good to see you excited. Except a cow. And that's because the cow speaks of the sin of the golden calf that's spoken about in Exodus 32. So for us to make a shofar out of, say, a Texas longhorn, it would be a bad thing because it would remind us of the sin of the golden calf. That's why we can't be made out of a cow. So it could be made out of a ram's horn. It could be made out of antelopes. It could be made out of all those animals that are in mainly in Africa with those horns sticking. Well, probably not a rhinoceris. I don't know. That's okay. Anyway, now during the 30 days of Elul that we just are finishing up now, preceding Rosh Hashanah, the shofar is blown every morning in the synagogue to remind the people that the holy days are approaching in order that everyone would prepare themselves for these special days. And the shofar also speaks of Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 18, where the Lord first revealed himself as king with the sound of the shofar, the voice of God known as the bat kol. Again, these crown-shaped halas that we have here remind us of the kingship of God's majesty. Now, additionally, this shofar was blown or sounded as a signal during times of war, as it speaks of in the book of Judges, chapter 3, verse 27. The shofar was also blown to announce the start of the year of Jubilee, and this is actually believed to be the year of Jubilee. We've been following Jonathan Kahn and his messages on the Shemitah, and we've watched the videos, we've read the books, and all these things. So the sounding of the shofar also announced the start of the year of Jubilee, which is in Leviticus 25 and verse 9. The shofar was also blown during the coronation services of a new king, as it says in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 34. Furthermore, the shofar was sounded as a sign of the regathering of the dispersed of Israel in Isaiah 27 verse 13. And you can read about that if you go on our website. There's a rabbi's blog called The Shofar, a Call. I don't remember the name of it. What is it? What? But it wasn't memorable because she doesn't remember. Anyway, you can read about that on the website, about this very thing, that the shofar was sounded to regather the dispersed of Israel. The shofar was also sounded as a sign or signal of dangers, we see in Amos chapter 3 and verse 6. And also the shofar speaks of what's known as the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, where in Genesis 22, Abraham bound Isaac upon that sacrificial altar. And in this great passage, the Lord himself provided that substitute in his place of Isaac. Interesting, that's why we eat sweet foods and apples on Rosh Hashanah. This day speaks of mercy, or the mercy of sweetness. But again, the rabbis found a reason for that, a numerical reason for this as well. In Hebrew, the binding of Isaac is known in Hebrew as the Seakeda, which happens to equal 494. In Hebrew letters, but also tapuach, which is the Hebrew word for apple, also equals 494. So since the binding of Isaac, the Seakeda, is 494 and apples are 494, that's why we eat apples dipped in honey during this time, to remember the binding of Isaac and God's sweetness and God's mercy. So everything has a reason and everything has its purpose. The shofar is also a wake-up call for God's people to repent. If you look at the shape of the shofar, it's all bent and curved to remind the people to bend in respect and repentance before God. And we read about this by the great Rabbi Maimonides. He wrote these words. He said, "Awake from your slumber, rouse yourselves from your lethargy, scrutinize your deeds and return in repentance. Remember your Creator, you forgot eternal truth in the trifles of the hour, who go astray after all vain illusions that can be neither profit you nor deliver you. Carefully examine your souls. Carefully mend all your ways and your actions. Forsake the evil path and unworthy purposes. Return to God so that He may have mercy on you." Now, according to I got some water here. Here we go. That's good water. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Now, this is one of my favorite reasons. It says, according to tradition, the shofar is sounded to confuse Satan. Satan seemingly hates the sound of the shofar because of all it represents. After all, when the Messiah Yeshua comes, that great shofar is going to be sounded, heralding, among other things, his ultimate defeat. So Satan, who on Rosh Hashanah is the chief prosecutor against Israel, is completely disoriented when he hears the shofar blown. And hopefully that will assure a positive judgment for us by God, and our names will be written in the book of life. Now, tied to this tradition is the greatest purpose of all for sounding of the shofar. It's the fact that the sounding will announce the return of our Messiah, Yeshua, in the end of days for his bride. The Lord will reveal himself through fire and the sound of the shofar. He will himself blow the shofar. It speaks of resurrection and it speaks of rapture. Now, before the shofar is sounded on Rosh Hashanah, Psalm 47 is recited seven times. I sounded it earlier before, just one time. But then there's four sounds of the shofar. You're actually supposed to make 100 blasts of the shofar during the sounding. But Bob, I'm not going to have you do all 100. He's already sweating over there. I see you. But these four sounds have been established in detail for centuries of tradition. And those four sounds, you heard them earlier, but I want to tell you about these four sounds. The first is the tekiya, or the blast, which is a pure, unbroken sound that calls man to search his heart. It means awake. It means abandon your evil ways and seek forgiveness through repentance. So, Bob, stand up with me, please. Come on. The tekiya, again, is a pure, unbroken sound, causes us to search our heart, to awake, abandon our evil ways, and seek forgiveness through repentance. So the tekiya sound. Okay. Then you have the shevarim. That word means broken. It's three short calls together being as long as one tekiya. It symbolizes wailing or crying and brokenness. So let's hear a shevarim. That was four. Oh, okay. All right. The third is terua, which is an alarm. It's a staccato note for you musicians here. It's a rapid series of very short notes of at least nine sounds together as long as one tekiya. Now, this symbolizes the sorrow that comes to man when he realizes his wrong and his desires to change his ways. So let's hear the terua. I don't know. Did y'all count those? It's hard to count those, isn't it? Yeah. And now we have the fourth. The fourth one is called tekiya gedola, the great tekiya. And it's a single unbroken blast that is as long as somebody can hold their breath. All right? And he's going to demonstrate this. And I used to be able to, honestly, I could hold it almost for a solid minute, a solid note, when I was a young whippersnapper. Now I have breathing problems and neck problems and headaches and dizziness. I'm thank you, Lord, that I can blow it. So anyway, so Bob, I'm expecting 3 minutes for you. So this is called the tekiya gedola. Very good. You all right? So together you heard the tekiya, the shevarim. The tekiya was a searching your heart. Shevarim had to do with wailing and crying, brokenness. The teruah was an alarm. And then the fourth one, the tekiya gadola, was a long one, held as long as you can to give you opportunity to repent before God. Now, I'll give you a chance to rest, okay? The ancient rabbis repeatedly quoted the following verse in connection with the coming of the Messiah. And they said, "It is the ram's horn, the shofar, that the Holy One, blessed be He, is destined to blow when the Son of David, Ben David," in other words, the Messiah, "a righteous one, will reveal himself, as it is said, and the Lord God will blow the horn." So they speak of the Son of David. They speak of the Messiah and saying that he himself will blow the shofar, revealing himself to the world. And we know that soon our Messiah is going to come and reveal himself to the world with the sounding of the shofar. An ancient Jewish tradition also holds that the resurrection of the dead are going to occur on Rosh Hashanah. And according to what's known as the alphabet Midrash of Rabbi Akiva, he says that seven shofars announce successive steps of the resurrection process, with Zechariah 9:14 quoted as the proof text, "And the Lord God will blow the shofar." Another rabbinic text says, "The shofar will sound, at which all men, when they hear it, will be changed and converted to a different spirit." What does that sound to you like? The twinkling of an eye, the resurrection. Thank you, Lord. Lastly, in the Midrash, this is hard, Peshkita Hadad 6:58, we read, "In the future, the Holy One, blessed be He, will resurrect the dead. How will He do it? He takes the great shofar and He blows it seven times. And at the seventh, they live. They stand on their feet in their clothes." And this, again, is speaking of resurrection. And reflecting upon all these traditions and the words of our forefathers and our sages, Jewish gravestones are often engraved with the shofar on them, which would announce this event, which would announce the resurrection. Now, the ancient rabbis also echoed a similar view. They said, "In the month of Nisan," or the month of Passover, "our ancestors were redeemed. But in the month of Tishri, when we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, they will be redeemed in the time to come." Now, the Feast of Trumpets is the next feast on Israel's prophetic calendar. Israel's four springtime feasts, the Passover, the Unleavened Bread, the First Fruits, Shavuot, they were all fulfilled in the connection with Messiah's first coming. Now, these feasts which now we're entering, these autumn feasts, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, will be fulfilled at Messiah Yeshua's second coming. I just want to conclude with some scriptures that speak of this. Matthew 24, verses 30 through 31 says, Matthew 24:30, "At that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and with great glory. And He will send His angels with a loud shofar call, and they will gather His elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other." And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 says, 1 Corinthians 15:50, "I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be all changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last shofar. For the shofar will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." It sounded just like what I read earlier, that the rabbis, the sages, said in our writings of thousands of years ago as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, which we looked at earlier, says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Yeshua died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Yeshua those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with the loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the shofar call of God, and the dead in the Messiah will rise first. After that, we are still alive and our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, we are to encourage one another with these words. We're going to have one last shofar blast. And this is a shofar blast having to do with a repentance and a return to God. That's why the last note is held long for those who are here, who maybe have not yet made a decision concerning Yeshua as Messiah, as King, or those who have turned away from God and want to return back in repentance, asking for forgiveness. This is an opportunity to do that. So I'm going to ask everyone just to keep your eyes closed for a minute without looking around. I want you to concentrate. When Yeshua himself returns, it says that the Lord himself will blast the shofar. Now, Rosh Hashanah actually starts tomorrow evening. Who knows if Messiah would return this year or next year? There's many signs that we see in front of us that are telling us some different things are going to take place this year. There's a lot of talk about the tetrad of blood moons, the four blood moons, with the last one taking place on September 28th, which is the start of Sukkot. But the many things are going to be taking place, and the Lord wants us to be ready and prepared for those times. Now, I'm not a prophet. I admit I'm not a prophet. My father wasn't a prophet, nor was my grandfather a prophet. But we see the signs in front of us. And the Lord wants us to be ready and prepared for his return. And if you're not ready, if you're not prepared, if you still have sin in your life, if there's still areas that you need to get right, now is the time you need to do it before he comes. Don't be like the 10 virgins whose oil was out of their lamp. And they knocked on the door, let us in, and he said, I never knew you. Don't be like that. Be like the ones who are prepared and ready for their master's return. So as the shofar is blown the last time and that last note is held long, it's an opportunity for you to consider, to think about these things, and to repent. Bob? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just with your heads continued bow, if you're here today and you've never received this special gift of redemption, of salvation, by believing that Yeshua is the Son of God, the Messiah, the King, the one that was sent to redeem us, I want you, with no one looking, just lift your hand. No one's looking around, so I can just be in agreement with you. Is there anyone here who's never done that? Anyone here would like to do that? Well, I assume that everyone has done that, but are you here today and you have not been living right before God and you need to get right and you need to repent because you know his return is drawing near and you're not ready and you're not prepared and your life is not in order, but today you'd like to say, I'm returning, I want to change, I want to get my life right with God. Does that speak to any of you? Lift your hand. I can just agree with you. If anyone, yes, the Lord sees your hand and your hand. Yes, he says, your hand as well. Anyone else? Yes, Lord, I want to get right. Anyone else? Yes, the Lord sees you. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I just pray for those who have lifted their hands, Father, that you would speak into their lives, draw them to you, direct them to you, help them, Lord. As they return to you, give them fresh hunger and thirst for the things of God. And Lord, just take our stony hearts and reveal hearts of flesh. And Lord, I just want to thank you and bless you. I want to give you all the glory and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. The traditional saying during this time of year is Lishana Tova Tikatevu, which means may your name, or really means may you be inscribed, and it's inferred in the book of life for a good year. So why don't you greet one another, and we can do a Shabbat Shalom if you have that on there, Shabbat Shalom, and greet one another with a Lishana Tova Tikatevu. If you can't do the Tikatevu, just say Lishana Tova. Amen. And we'll be going over to the building in a few minutes to be eating together. Remember next week that we are having our special musical guest. So come for that next week and bring a guest.